It's Wednesday, March 8th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we talk about how to not suck at not being a fanboy.
Let's do this!
So today I had an interview with a possibly new job down in Manhattan. We'll see how that goes.
Hooray, a job of money.
Yeah, so I may or may not continue to be working at IBM in the coming few weeks.
So no more fun stories about stupid people? Who...
I'll say this much. Once I leave IBM, and I know I'm never going to come back, I can't reveal any of the secrets I know. Like, I can't talk about a lot of the... specific, secret, confidential, whatever. But I can definitely do a tell-all my experiences at IBM.
Mm-mm.
So expect at least one or two podcasts on that if this comes to
So that'll place. Be like a Dilbert Thursday?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So today, you might have noticed I changed some things on the WordPress, our blog that runs the podcast and everything.
Now, if a million episodes of Geek Night suddenly appeared in your pod feeder... we're sorry, but I think you did something wrong.
Well, you didn't necessarily do something wrong. You just did something poor. As in...
This is all Scott. I don't even use podcatchers.
Yeah, if you're using a crummy podcatcher, like, I don't know, some random RSS reader, or if you're subscribed to the wrong feed, the feed you should be subscribed to is the Feedburner one. Feeds.feedburner.com/whatever.
Geeknights.
Geeknights.
Yeah, if anyone out there is subscribed to just a raw WordPress feed... Stop doing that, because it's not good for you. That feed can change a lot. The Feedburner feed is the official one. That's the only one that we, support.
Mm-hmm. And if you have your podcatcher set up to download every episode, no matter what, you probably don't want to do that. You probably want to set it to download the most recent episode, or download episodes when you click on them. That way you don't automatically download a billion episodes you already listened. The other thing is we do have separate feeds now. If you want, you can subscribe to just Monday, just Tuesday, or just Wednesday of Geek Nights.
We've already had about 20 people do this so far, even though we haven't really advertised that these are there. I imagine these people found them via iTunes.
Yeah, if you go to iTunes or Yahoo Podcasts, you can find the separate Geek Nights feeds for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, of course, you'll still be able to find the Geek Nights total feed, which has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday all in one.
Yep, and once we finish with the theme and everything's all set up with the new look for Geek Nights, those feeds are all going to be prominently available.
Yep, one more thing is that if you're a person who is only listening or you found us via the Monday only, Tuesday only, links, I guess it would be a Wednesday only link because it's Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're subscribed to just Geek Nights Anime, guess what? We do three other days a week of podcasting. So if you like things besides anime, you should subscribe to the Geek Nights normal feed that has everything in it.
Now, eventually, we're going to add all that stuff to the closing bit, so we won't have to say this at the beginning of every
episode. Yep, and also, we will have a Thursday-only feed. I know some people like Thursday, but...
Yeah, we had some people tell us lately that Thursdays are their favorite days.
Really? Because it's not my favorite day.
Yeah,
at least it's not the easiest day for me.
Well, it'll be easier once we finish all the research we've got lined up for the big Thursday episodes.
Yep. But, yeah, so everyone knows that's how your subscription should go. Everything is Feedburner. Don't subscribe to anything that's not Feedburner.
Yeah.
So someone interviewed Michael Dell today. I don't know if you know, but Michael Dell is the guy who's in charge of Dell computers. And they said, hey, how come you're not being all Linux-y?
And he gave some pretty good answers as to why not.
Yeah, so basically what he said was they tried back in the day to just use Red Hat. And the problem was is no one bought it because they said, we don't want to use Red Hat. Red Hat sucks. Why don't you have this other distribution or this other distribution? So he says, you know what? Fine. If we put only one distribution, everyone would complain that they didn't pick the distribution that they wanted. If they picked a few distributions, like let's say three or four, people would complain because why not have this one and this one also?
Yeah, but I use Kubuntu blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I use Mandrake.
Yeah, Mandriva now.
Whatever.
Yeah. So the point that he makes is that it's not possible or practical for Dell to support all those different distributions. They could reasonably support a few. But the problem is no distribution has such a vast majority of following that they can pick that one. You know, it's like... Ubuntu might be the most popular. The most popular means 10%, which means if they pick Ubuntu, 90% of people who want Linux on a Dell would still complain.
Now, my take on this is that they don't need to market this to people who already know about Linux. If you already have a favorite distro, you're not likely one of Dell's Linux box customers.
See, that's what you would think, but it seems like freaking people actually want to buy Dells with their Linux of choice pre-installed. I don't know what they're thinking.
See, I think those people are a minority. I think what Dell could do is offer maybe just Ubuntu or maybe a handful of OSs, depending, and offer these, not offer them to Linux geeks who will do it on their own anyway, but market them as a solution, like an alternative to Windows. Like heavily market Linux as like, oh, the smart people use Linux. The cool people use Linux.
Doesn't crash.
You can use Linux too. It's more secure. If you can't afford OS X,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
I think Dell's strategy isn't to sell computers without Windows. I think their strategy is to sell computers, period. And the only reason that they want to have Linux computers at all is because that way they could sell computers to people who are Linux users. Right now, Dell really can't sell to Linux users. Linux users will go out and build their own computer. So that's why Dell started this. He says they started this N series, which comes with FreeDOS. Which means you can erase FreeDOS and put whatever Linux you want on there, and you don't have to pay the Windows tax.
Yeah, now part of the reason, I mean, you wonder, why don't they just offer it without any OS? But apparently Microsoft got really angry way back when they decided to do that sort of thing, claiming that they're just promoting piracy. You know, who would buy a computer without an operating system? They're obviously going to pirate Windows. No one uses Linux.
Yeah, I think that if Dell really pushed it, though, today, and tried to sell computers without OSs, that they would probably succeed.
Yeah, but I don't see Dell doing that anytime soon.
No, they have no reason to. Just throw FreeDOS on there. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You know, it keeps Microsoft from complaining. It doesn't mean shit.
Though I definitely think at least someone could make some sort of Linux/computer combo and sell them to the market as long as they advertised and did this marketing campaign for, you know, just promoting Linux as a solution that is secure and maybe make people feel smart about using Linux.
Yeah, that's the one thing, is it? No, because Linux is free, no one's going to put money in to try to sell it. All they do is, you know, they throw it on some really cheap hardware and say, hey, here's a whole computer for only like $100, $200. Come get it. You know, and it gives Linux this kind of, like, because they don't advertise all the good stuff about Linux, it gives it this kind of like Hyundai kind of feel or like Kia kind of feel where like, oh, it's cheap. But it's not as, you know, good.
Yeah, it's cheap, therefore it must suck.
Yeah, and that's the opposite of true. And I think if someone, like, sold some computers...
the opposite of true.
Exactly.
Not false, not it's a lie, but that's the opposite of true.
Again, I am more tired today than I was yesterday, so...
See, surprisingly, despite the fact that I spent the morning in Manhattan, and I took an ass early train into the city, like, I got to the train station so early... There was no one else there, and I took the peak, like, commuter train in almost entirely by myself.
Yeah, well, I did work at work today, so I'm all tired.
Yeah, I also did work at work today, and I walked all around New York City.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So, what was I
saying?
I'll
probably pass out soon.
Yeah, if they put Ubuntu on a computer, and they sold it as, this computer won't get viruses, it won't crash, it does this and this and this and this, you don't have to pay for software. There's software that does almost whatever you want. Already on it, and you can still IM your friends, and you can still do all these great things, you know, but, you know, don't try to buy software in the store and don't try to play games.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is like, no matter what you advertise, there's still something that someone's going to try to do that you can't do, and that's the problem with Linux. Someone will go and buy that digital camera that doesn't work, that scanner that doesn't work. They'll try to plug in their video camera to download a video off of it, and it won't work. You know, that's what you got to get over, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the problem is it's not fun to make that sort of thing work.
No, it's
not. I mean, I'll admit it. When I buy a new, you know, bit that's going to go into my computer, I'll look online and I'll find if someone else has gotten it to work in Linux. And if no one else has, I don't buy that bit.
Yep, and that's the good way to go, because now companies are being forced to make things work with Linux before they sell them.
Yep, I mean, case in point, NVIDIA.
Yeah. The problem is in already existing things and in super new things, because a lot of companies will say, well, we don't need Linux support right away. It won't make a difference, you know, and they'll put it out and then you got to wait. Or
yeah.
Something is so old that Linux support isn't going to come around, but it's something useful that everyone has, like a webcam of some sort or something like that.
Well, anyway, To move on to more relevant anime-related news, since it is anime day, Otakon, for any of you who are planning to go to it, has all but sold out of the hotel rooms that are remaining for this year.
Well, there's a big surprise.
Yeah.
You're going to have a heart attack and die from not surprise.
Well, the thing is, actually, two of the hotels sold out within a week of the dates being announced, you know, last August.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if any of you out there are planning to go to Otakon, get your hotel room right now. Like, literally, stop listening to Geek Nights and go get a hotel room. Otherwise, you're probably going to be screwed.
Doesn't matter. At this point, if you get a hotel room, you're going to be far, far away from the convention center. Far away.
I think there are a few rooms left that are close, but those are the expensive rooms that most young fan children can't afford.
Yep.
We used to be that way.
In other news, Anime Boston, their Artist Alley sold out in 5 minutes and a few seconds.
Ha ha!
So next year, they're making their Artist Alley much bigger. But if you're looking for a good Artist Alley, I would recommend going to Anime Boston this year, where we might go.
Yeah, we're thinking about it.
And there'll be a packed Artist Alley of awesome.
And of course, if you want to be in the Otakon Artist Alley, subscribe to their RSS feed and watch. Because last year, I think it sold out within an hour.
Yeah, but you can't beat Anime Boston's 5 minutes.
Now, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be a race of the Artist Alleys.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing. There's some con in Australia or something, and I think they set a policy for their dealer's room that allows selling bootlegs as long as they're not licensed for release in Australia. So it's like, if it's not licensed, you can sell it here, even if it's bootleg. So we'll see what happens to that convention.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of tricky stuff about copyright law, and I don't know much about Australian copyright law. I know in many ways it's a lot more draconian, but there might be a big loophole here.
I don't know. See, it's always weird to me, the places that can get away with selling bootlegs and the places that can't. It's like, you have an anime convention for 3 days, right? If any bootleg DVDs are sold there, it's like, oh my god. But you have a store down the street from us, an anime store, and they sell bootlegs of Crazy, and then no one cares.
I don't think they have anything that isn't a bootleg.
No, because they can't. They don't really compete with the Best Buy pro DVD market. They compete.
Yeah, not even the DVDs. They have all these bootleg wall scrolls and bootleg posters, and everything's a bootleg.
Well, they have some non-bootleg, some of the toys and things.
Yeah, some of the toys, but I don't think they have a non-bootleg wall scroll in that entire building.
Maybe not. They also...
Though, as I say that, I've got a bootleg Utena poster I bought from them hanging above my desk.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But also, another example, like the Super Midtown Comic Book Store in New York. You know, they sell bootlegs of crazy stuff, like all these old TV shows. You can buy, like, all of Exo Squad and DVD from them. They used to sell all of Thundercats on DVD, but then Thundercats came out on DVD, so they get the pros in, and they sell the other one, you know, they take the bootlegs away. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get away with that. It's like this
huge
display at the front of the store.
There's so many people out there selling bootlegs that you can't get them all, and it's really not, it's like our friend Pete.
But I mean, all you did was walk into the store, and there's like giant rack that's so obvious, full of bootleg TV
Scott,
shows.
I found out we had a similar discussion with Pete, who, you know, tests food, as we were walking down in Chinatown over the weekend, and we saw the shady dude selling raw deer heads out of a cardboard box on the side of the street. And that sort of stuff, you can't stop it.
If you can't stop it, then it's effectively not illegal, and everyone should just do it anyway.
Well, here's the thing. It's real easy to catch people at a con, because it's easy to just walk around and look at what everyone's got.
Well, you keep it hidden, you know, little closed box. You know, a lot of the dealers have those boxes under their tables, and you just assume those boxes are full of,
and you know what?
More
a company
excess
did
merchandise.
A company was doing that at a couple Otakons back, and they got kicked out.
How did they find out?
They have undercover people looking around, and people will report stuff. So I assume some kid saw it, reported it to the staff. The staff came over, and hey, bootlegs, out.
Asshat.
What do you mean, asshat? I'm fairly against bootlegs.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it's like the code of the schoolyard.
Nah.
You don't tell on people. You let them get caught on their own.
I tell on people. I told on some punk kids on a train once.
What were they doing?
They ripped down one of the emergency signs because it's glow in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then the conductor came over, and I just said, hey, those kids ripped down the emergency sign that's supposed to be there. And I watched hilarity ensue.
What did he do?
He yelled at him, and then this parent came over, why are you yelling at my kid? And then the conductor's like, your kid just damaged train property. I should call the police. And it was just hilarious. Yeah, I was proud of that.
Punk
Since
kids.
I'm no longer a punk kid. Now I'm the crotchety old man who gets the punk kid in trouble.
Punk kids and crotchety old men, eternal enemies. We need to make a video game about crotchety old men versus punk kids. And you can beat either side. In fact, it should be a multiplayer online game.
Massively multiplayer?
Massively multiplayer online game. Crotchety old men versus punk kids. Of course, you can only own property if you're a old man. You get this giant lawn, and the punk kids try to invade it, but they have weapons and you don't. So, but you do have a lawn.
And a law, you know, cops.
Yep. But the cops are all NPCs. And they eventually can get mad at you if you call them too often.
Why don't we just make a progress quest extension that does this game?
Perfect. Speaking of progress quest, I'm currently level 27.
Outstanding.
Yeah, great. I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with the concept of Super Dolphy.
It's if any of you are into it, that's cool, but I personally find it a little scary and a little creepy.
It is very scary. Basically, what Super Dolphy is...
I'll warn you, if you try to define what Super Dolphy is in any way, anyone who knows what they're talking about is going to jump down your throat in the forums. They'll find you.
Yeah, you know what? They're scary because they like Super Dolphy, so they can shove it. So, it's basically these ball-jointed dolls, and they make clothing and stuff for them, and they cut their hair and color their hair, and it's like a super customizable doll.
Usually they make them look like J-Rockers.
They make them look like J-Rockers, anime characters, whatever they want, you know, and it's kind of freaky. You'll see them sometimes in an artist's alley or something, and yeah, they're generally something you don't want to get involved in.
Unless you're really into that sort of thing. I mean, I don't begrudge anyone having a hobby. Just be warned that if you're really into Super Dolphy, I might find you a little creepy.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact, it's really the money that makes it the most creepy, and the amount of time spent on it.
You know what? It is about as addictive and time-consuming as Warhammer is.
Yeah, it's about equal to that. Only Warhammer, at least there's a good game in Warhammer. You know, unlike some CCGs like Magic or whatever.
Or the Penny Arcade collectible card game.
Yeah, Warhammer is actually a somewhat decent game. So there's something to it, you know? Super Dolphy is just nothing. It's like Warhammer.
It's a doll. You got
imagine
a doll.
If Warhammer wasn't a game.
I submit that there are people out there for whom it is not a game.
That is true, and those people are equally scary. So,
yes.
Anyway, put that aside. You can customize. Super Dolphies are made for customization, but some dolls are not, such as Barbie. But some people have decided to customize Barbie anyway.
And they made Barbie into an
otaku.
Ha ha!
So here you will see someone who has customized Barbie into Otaku Barbie. She has a t-shirt with one of Hello Kitty's friends on it.
The fact that she has the little sketchbook with the little somewhat poorly drawn anime-style sketch on it is just classic.
Yeah. I think she also has like a little like a Japanese snack and a J-pop CD and a little bag of a little artist thingy, a little portfolio bag. And, you know, she's totally drawing all sorts of little anime arts on a very Barbie-sized sketchbook.
You know, with a little bit of editing, Scott, I could make a podcast where basically it's just you talking about how awesome this Barbie doll is.
Yeah, well, that's not good because the last thing the Barbie does is transform into magical Barbie Sailor Senshi, which is ultra frightening.
I submit that the cross-dressing Ken is slightly more frustrating.
I was going to keep that a secret so people would go to the site and see it. Oh, well.
You know what? Go to the site and see the cross-dressing Ken.
Yeah, so at the bottom of the site is worse than Otaku Barbie. It's cross-play Ken. And it's Ken with a tiara dressed like Sailor Moon, and he's got a freaking beer belly, and it's frightening.
Hey, it's no Sailor Bubba Bobblehead.
No, it's not a Sailor Bubba Bobblehead. But why don't those exist? They would sell like hotcakes.
They do exist. They were sold at Anime Central.
Where do we get them?
I didn't get one, but I saw them there. I haven't been to Anime Central in a while.
Were they official bobbleheads made by the bobblehead company, or were they knockoffs?
I don't know.
Because the real bobbleheads have, like, ceramic heads.
See, all I know is the only place I really saw Sailor Bubba with any degree of regularity was Anime Central.
I saw him at an Otakon.
Yeah, but he's not at every Otakon.
I think, right?
He's not at every Otakon.
No, he's not.
He was at every Anime Central for a while.
He's, you know, he's not really as big now. It's like Jewish Wolfwood took his spot.
You mean Mike Pfeffer?
Yeah, I wonder if he listens to us after he was on.
I don't know. So, Mike Pfeffer, do you still listen to Geek Nights?
Yeah.
If you don't, we're going to keep calling you Jewish Wolfwood.
I know. Yeah, he really doesn't like being called Jewish Wolfwood.
Well, I think it's more that Jewish Wolfwood was something that made him really like well-known and popular, but it's not the thing he wants to be remembered for.
Yeah, he wants to be remembered for being awesome, and he is kind of awesome. So
yeah, he's really digging up that Communist Party of Anime thing, which I find fairly hilarious.
Yeah, so we'll definitely hook up with him at some con in the future. Maybe bring him on the show again.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him here so we can use the real equipment. You can hear what his voice actually sounds like. All right, so my thing of the day, I had some other thing of the day, which is actually kind of cool. And then I decided to look in my Delicious for some news. And I realized that a while ago, I had put something in my Delicious and then forgotten about it.
Now, that's the point of Delicious.
Now, all of you are familiar with Bleach because you're all listening to the anime portion of Geek Nights, and Bleach is one of the new popular shows like Naruto or Yu Yu Hakusho.
It's a shonen action fighting show.
It follows the formula.
You already know my opinion of these shows.
It follows the formula of here's some awesome characters. Oh, here's an awesome story. Oh, 5 episodes have gone by. Well, fuck that story. Let's have them fight for the next 3,000 episodes.
That's exactly the definition of shonen action.
I mean, the characters are really kind of cute and cool, and if it weren't for the fact that it's just a fighting show, I'd be all about it, but I'm sorry. It's just a fighting show.
Yeah, it's like Yu Yu Hakusho. You know, the first 2 episodes, like this amazing plot, these funny characters, and then, oh, we're going to have a giant tournament. Naruto? Ninja School? Forget that ninja school.
Yeah, ninja school was hilarious. And then suddenly they're fighting in tournaments.
Yeah, the only thing you'll realize if they just took the first few episodes and dragged it out to be a 26-episode show, it would be amazing. But when they just start a fighting show instead, it sucks.
It sucks to us. I point out that a lot of people like it.
I don't know what's up with it. Well, I gotta admit, when I watched Naruto the first time, it's something about these shows where like Rave Master was another one that got
you. Don't realize it's a fighting show right away.
You don't realize a fighting show. You've gotten to the 13th episode when they finally finished the fight. You realize it's the 13th episode, and then you go back and you look and you say, hey, this fight's been going on since episode 5.
Huh.
Oh, I'm not watching anymore. You know, it's like it tricks you, and as soon as you realize it, you're safe. But, you know, I don't know. They have some sort of magic formula so you don't figure it out.
Though part of the reason Bleach is slightly more interesting to me is that she'll probably be embarrassed. I'm not going to say who she is, but we have a friend who looks exactly like Rukia from the show.
I don't know which character that is, but I'll look it up later.
Well, she looks exactly like the person I'm talking about.
All right.
But, like, it's creepy. She does a cosplay, and she might as well be the character.
There are lots of people we know who could pretty much be any, certain characters.
Yeah. But anyway, Bleach is very popular. And I discovered, I'm not exactly sure what this is. I think it's just the promo for something that someone wants to do, or maybe they're making a musical, but it's basically a Bleach rock opera, live action.
That reminds me of the Utena musical.
All right, the Utena is... Utena and Captain Tyler are my favorite 2 anime ever. I think Cowboy Bebop is one of the best anime ever, but Tyler and Utena are like near and dear to me. I could go down to the infinite, horrible fanboy detail on all the various intricacies of Utena. And I love everything to Utena involved.
That's almost as scary as Super Dolphy.
The Utena musical made me want to claw my own eyes out and then kill myself with them.
I think we had a tape somewhere that had like a few minutes.
I still have that tape. It has most of the musical on it.
Yeah, it's pretty frightening.
It's like a 5th generation fan sub that's barely watchable of the last episode of Utena and then the musical.
Here, to give you an example of what watching the Utena musical is like, imagine some people doing an Utena cosplay. They're seriously trying to act out what happens in the show. But they're singing poorly, and they have a slightly higher production value.
Yeah. So just take a typical cosplay sketch and knock it up a notch.
Not good.
Yeah.
Especially since it's not one of those funny, clever cosplay sketches. It's trying to be realistic cosplay sketch.
Yeah, it was definitely no The Muppets Do Utena, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, so the Bleach rock opera here is...
It's kind of cool, I got to admit. I kind of like the music.
The production seems pretty good. The music is average to me.
Well, it sounds like the music would be good if someone better were singing it.
It seems to represent the show pretty well.
Yeah, people are fighting. They're Shinigami.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're fighting again.
Yep, that's pretty accurate.
Now, the thing is, I mean, I like the music. The problem with this thing just seems to be that either they pulled the classic musical mistake of hiring people who look good instead of people who can sing, or these are just stand-ins and they're, like, trying to promote this thing. I'm really not sure. I haven't done any research on this. I just watched the clip, and you should, too.
Yeah, I can't tell. I'm not Japanese or anything, but if you like Bleach, or if you know what Bleach is, you should probably watch this little video, and you will either laugh or cry or something. It'll be worth your time.
Yeah. So anyway, it's Anime Day, and it's also How to Not Suck Week. Now, we realized that all of the topics we could really cover how to not suck that involve anime are very, very specific topics that many of you probably don't care about, like how to not suck at running a panel at a convention, or how to not suck at running an anime club, or how to not suck at collecting comics.
Yeah. We already did How to Not Suck at a Convention, I think.
Well, we did 3 episodes on how to be good at a convention, basically.
Well, How to Not Suck is just our way of saying how to be good, but...
Yeah.
I guess we could do How to Not Suck at being an anime artist, but all we'd have to say is go to art school and practice, because we don't freaking know shit about art.
Yeah, I can't draw a straight line.
I can draw a stick figure. A happy one, too. Yay!
Yeah, he can draw a mean stick figure.
Yeah. Sure.
So we decided, partly because we're still very tired from the weekend, we're just going to do a very quick how to not suck at being a fan. In other words, how to not be a horrible fanboy.
Yep, because a lot of people out there, you know, I mean, there are some things there are some people who are fanboys and proud of it, like the comic book guy in The Simpsons.
Now, that's fine. I mean, if you're that dude, go ahead and be that dude all the way.
Yeah.
Basically, all
I won't want to come near you, but I'll respect the way you do things, and I'll stay clear, and it'll be all good.
Yeah, we're also not going to talk about taste in anime, because you're allowed to like whatever you want, and whatever our opinions may be, whatever.
Even though our opinions are correct.
Okay. But anyway, all we really want to talk about here, because we don't want to sound like assholes, more so than we already are just things that you can probably try to avoid. Because these are the kind of things that a fanboy does and maybe doesn't realize they're doing, or doesn't realize that it's annoying to others.
Yeah,
or...
I mean, there are a lot of people I'll run into at conventions where they'll be normal, cool guys for the most part, but they'll have something about them, or they'll have a certain way about them that is totally like, all right, you need to get away from me now, you know?
Often it's an odor.
Odor is the first thing on the list.
All right. So, if you like anime, that's fine. If you have BO, I don't care if you like anime or not. That's not fine. Don't have it.
Yes. There are 2 places you have to worry about BO. Number 1, any place crowded. If it's crowded and you're not wearing deodorant or antiperspirant, which I don't recommend wearing antiperspirant ever.
Yeah, we'll get into that later. We'll do a whole show on that.
We'll do that in some other episode about hygiene. We already did one hygiene show. We can do another one.
Well, you know what? It's very simple. If you're at a con or an anime club or out in public or at your favorite store, 1, take a shower at least every other day. Come on, that's all I'm asking. 2,
in the summer, every day.
Yeah, deodorant, 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 deodorant. If you don't own deodorant, or you don't know how to use it, or you own it but you're not using it, you're not a good person. In fact, you're a very bad person.
Also, make sure you're showering properly. Just getting yourself wet and getting out is no good. You need to wash your hair with shampoo and clean your body with soap.
In the very least, go by George Carlin's method of showering. Armpits, asshole, crotch, and teeth.
In that order.
Actually, I think you want to do it in the... you know what?
I think he said in the order George Carlin says...
Well, no, see, George Carlin made a joke, because then he said in the same order, or in that order, with the same brush.
Mm.
Yeah, because he's George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
But wash the crucial areas. I mean... I don't know how many times I've been to a con, and I've been floored by someone. Like, floored. As in, I can't imagine how that odor could come from a still-living human being.
Yeah, especially if you're at, you know, I guess, convention. We could talk about conventions more, great.
Yeah, well, anime clubs.
You're walking around all day, or you're in a crowded room of people, and it's hot, and you're starting to sweat.
Just anime. If you're a comic guy and you leave your den of misery once a week to buy your comics on Wednesday...
That should be the day you shower.
If you're going to shower once a week, make that the day.
Yeah. You know, you got to look good when you go to that comic book store. The owner will be friendlier to you. Maybe he'll give you a discount.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think about these sort of things.
Of course, I think some of these comic people...
on your new comics.
I think some of these comic people use the BO as a defense. Because they walk into the store, people back off, now they can get the comics they want without having to shove through the crowd.
Perhaps, but a lot of the crazy comic people have, like, pre-orders they don't need to shove through.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, number two, don't keep talking to someone if they don't seem to be, like, responding to you.
I mean, basically, I was the president of the biggest anime club in the country for a year. I was on the board for 3 years, and one of my many duties was being very polite and civil to people in public, meaning I had to always be nice to everyone no matter what, because they're a member of this club, and they're a member, I have to take care of them.
And I was the guy who got to say, wow, you're a fanboy, go away.
Now, tact is a very beautiful thing, and if a fanboy is really bothering me, I usually won't tell him exactly what I think of him. I won't, you know, I don't like to destroy someone's ego like that.
However, I will, if necessary.
Yeah,
but
if necessary.
It's not really pleasant.
But
and
I guess
it's too much effort.
It's a warning out there to people that if you're talking to someone and they keep looking away from you or not making eye contact, or they keep turning to their other friends, or all they ever do when you say anything to them is go like, ah, ah.
Or, yep.
Ah, yeah. I got real good at pretending I'm paying attention to someone in those 3 years of running that club.
See, here's the thing is if I'm talking to someone and all they say is, uh-huh, yep, and they're not looking at me or something, I go, hey, are you paying attention to me?
Yeah,
do you even want to hear what I'm saying?
Now, Scott's a little weird, I mean, when it comes to that. Because basically, one time, we used to share a room in college, and just because we had a tiny little ass apartment. And I'm laying in my bed, I'm trying to sleep, and Scott's trying to tell me something. And all I remember is he stopped talking, and he said, like, all right? And I said, And then he kept talking. Then he said, all right again. And I didn't say anything. And he said, all right again. And again. And then he said, hey, Rim. Rim, you listening? Eh? And then I eventually realized that I wasn't listening.
Yep.
And then he woke me up, but that's a whole other issue.
Well, the point is, if I'm talking, it's because I'm trying to communicate information to someone else. And if in some cases, you know, I only want to communicate it if they want to hear it. And if they don't want to hear it, I want to make sure that they don't want to hear it or not. So I do so, and if they don't want to, then I won't tell them anymore.
So basically, if you're at a con or at an anime club or out in public, and you're trying to tell someone about, you
this
know,
this is huge when waiting in lines for nerdy things.
Yes, because you're stuck with the people you're waiting in line with, and I've been stuck in some lines with some people.
I've been stuck in some lines with some people.
Yeah.
And the trend seems to be there'll be a group that you'll be next to, and the group often contains a bunch of normal guys and then a cool guy or a loner. Don't want to be in line next to loners. Always get in lines next to groups. It's much more
now,
fun.
By all means, be friendly. Try to meet people, hang out with people, talk to people. Don't be afraid to just walk over to someone and talk to them like, hey, I like Dragon Ball. You like Dragon Ball too? But if they obviously don't like Dragon Ball, don't keep talking about it.
Especially don't talk about hentai or yaoi or anything weird like that at all.
Unless you're sure that they want to hear about it.
If you start talking about hentai to me, I will put you down so low you'll want to kill yourself.
With righteous fury.
You'll want to kill yourself. I'll be like, wow, you're a perverted scumbag.
Yeah, like we have a friend who's really into yaoi. Like, really into yaoi. And you know what? We're fine with that.
We don't care.
And usually when she tells us about yaoi, it always ends up being a funny story, so we want to hear it. And it's obvious we want to hear it. But we had a friend, well, not a friend. There was a person we knew at RIT when we were there who would follow us around and interject himself into conversations to explain what kinds of hentai he liked. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the conversation
was like, hey, Rim, you want to go to the anime club tonight? Hey, Scott, yeah, that'd be fine. Hey, Rim and Scott, I just watched disembowelment hentai. It's my favorite kind of hentai. What kind of hentai do you like?
No kind.
Go away.
Yeah. It's like the person we know that likes yaoi, when she talks about yaoi, it's always like, oh my god, there's a relevant yaoi that's hilarious, or, you know, ha ha ha, funny joke. It's never like, hey, do you want to come, you know, see my favorite yaoi, then explaining the yaoi.
One time it was that, but the thing is, she knows.
Oh, I guess I wasn't there that time.
Yeah, she doesn't bring up the yaoi, like, out of the blue with no reason, constantly, because that just means you're trying to get attention.
Yep.
But she brings it up when it's relevant. If we're, like, at Dick and Buster's whatever hentai dubbing panel at Otakon or something, because I hear that's hilarious, and you start talking to me about the funny hentai we're watching, that's cool.
Yeah, that's informative.
But if I'm walking down the street and you start telling me about your tentacle yaoi,
I'm going to hit you with a tentacle.
You don't have a tentacle.
Or do I?
We made a joke that was about a penis. That never happens on Geek Nights.
Yeah.
All right. Now, anime clubs out there, basically, it's tough to have an anime club that's just about watching the anime because, you know, you can just watch the anime in your room. That's the argument that fanboys make, at least. Now, to me, watching anime in a group can often be one of the greatest experiences of an anime because it can turn a mediocre anime awesome.
Right, now think about this, right? You watch a show, let's say it's a ridiculously crazy funny show like
Excel Saga.
Or something else like that Genji Ken show that's sort of new, right?
Yeah, or like an old Lupin movie.
Now, when you watch these shows by yourself, you know, it's kind of funny, but there's just something when you watch it in a room full of people where people yell out funny things because everyone is there paying attention, that like if everyone starts laughing, maybe you'll notice a joke that you would have missed in your house.
Yep. Or just that feeling of like something awesome happens. Like in an old Lupin movie, Jigen does something funny and crazy and everyone in the room goes, "Woo, yeah!"
Watching at home, you don't even like get that. I don't know what it is or how it works. Maybe we should do a scientific study on how that, you know, the psychology of watching things in groups as opposed to watching the same exact thing alone.
So first off, I guess if there's an anime club in your area, go check it out and try to watch anime with people. You might enjoy it a lot more. Don't discount an anime club just because they don't show the newest fan sub that you're watching right now.
Even watching an old show that you've already seen with a bunch of people can be greatly enhanced if those people do not suck.
Yes. Now, this brings us to the critical point on how to not suck.
Number one, if it's a serious part of a show, shut up.
Keep in mind, this all depends on the group you're with, and you have to gauge the group. If you're sitting with a bunch of people who just rip on everything, and like everyone's cool with everyone just talking and yelling, then by all means, go in with that. But if you're watching Magical Girl Y, and the boy she loves is about to stab her to death, and it's this horrible dramatic scene, and you crack a joke loudly in the middle of a silent room where everyone's paying attention, you suck.
You definitely suck. Even though it's Magical Girl Y, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, the second thing you want to do is, if you have something funny to say, and it is appropriate to yell something out, like, let's say, you know how sometimes in normal life someone will say something that leaves them wide open to a witty insult or a witty retort?
And yes.
Sometimes an anime will say something that leaves someone wide open.
Like the horrible yaoi innuendo in a show that has nothing to do with yaoi.
Exactly. Now, you know, before you yell out whatever you're about to yell out, you can't delay too much because then it won't be funny. So if you delay it, if you hesitate at all more than like 2 seconds, don't say anything because people will go, "What? You're too late." But do spend a half a second to make sure that you're laughing on the inside when you think about it. Or else, everyone will go groan and throw things at you.
Yeah. And once again, just pay attention to the crowd. If it's a bunch of people who like to watch their show silently, don't yell funny stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just not going to work. People aren't going to like you.
The other thing is, you know, let's say, you know, you think about your thing for half a second, you yell it out. If everyone groans, don't try it again. You're not a funny person.
Oh my God, we had problems with that more than you could imagine.
It's like, that was always my strategy, is if it was appropriate for me to yell something out and I had something funny to say, I would go with it. And if people laughed, I would wait until I got the next one, and I would gauge that one in myself against the previous one. And if it was more funny, I'd let it loose, or equally funny, I'd let it loose. If it was less funny, I'd keep it in.
Now also, don't be tricked by success. Say you yell something out and it's hilarious and like the whole room explodes with laughter. Don't take that as a license to yell something out every 5 seconds for the rest of the anime, because they'll kill you.
Yeah, you only yell something out when it like just comes to you. You know, if you're trying to think of stuff to yell out, you're in trouble. You have to just, you know, sit there, let the anime absorb into your body, and then whenever something hilarious just pops into your mind, you know, gauge it really quickly and let it loose. That's the method.
Yep, the rule here is when in doubt, shut your pie hole.
Yep.
Or in the very least, whisper it to your friend next to you.
And if your friend next to you starts laughing, maybe you can manage to do a little room spreading action.
Yeah, that's often happened where someone says something funny to me, and then the person on the other side goes, "What did he just say?" And I whisper it. They go, "Ha ha ha." And then it spreads to the whole room and there's like this rumbling laughter growing.
Yep, that's a good one.
All right, so last and least, well, I guess not least, most for many people, Just because we don't want to, you know, talk about fanboys for an hour here. It's not the most pleasant topic. But if you know the end of Cowboy Bebop, and you know that the dude sitting next to you has never seen it, or he just bought it and he's starting to watch it, don't tell him how it ends.
In fact, don't tell anyone how anything ends.
Unless you're sure they either want to know how it ends and don't care if you spoil it, or that you know they've already seen it.
Yep. And don't say endings to things loudly or in public places, or, you know, if you're telling it to a whole group, make sure every single person in the group is cool. If one person's uncool, either get them to leave the room or close their ears or something like that.
I mean, this is one of the biggest ways to spot a horrible fanboy. Because we'll have a group of people, and someone will say, oh man, the end of Escaflowne when... Wait a minute, you've all seen Escaflowne, right?
Yep.
And then if everyone says yeah, then they say whatever they're going to say. Or otherwise, they say, oh, we'll talk about this later when so-and-so isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
That's just etiquette.
Yeah, and if you're in like a group of people and you're going to watch something... Make sure that whatever you're going to watch is appropriate for everyone who's in there, in the room watching. You know, not in just in terms of, you know, content, but in terms of, you know, we're going to watch episode 13 of, you know, crazy show that is very serial and, you
well,
know.
Well, you know, we're just fantastic at coming up with fake names for anime. We had Magical Girl Y and Crazy Show.
All right. Super Robot 59.
Sad Puppy Snow Angel.
So if you're going to watch the 16th episode of Super Robot 59...
You know, the one where Mickey gets his head chopped off and then everyone cries.
Yeah, and, you know, has the totally unexpected robot explosion. You know, don't watch that if people haven't seen one through whatever before that, because then... Now the whole show is kind of messed up for them.
Now it might be painful, because we've had the Full Metal Alchemist movie for a long time, just sitting here waiting to be listened to.
Watched.
Watched. I listened to. I'm so used to talking about podcasts, I finally got out of saying watch when I mean listen. Now I say listen when I mean watch.
Yeah, just make your spot listen check and get on with it.
But my exponent is 4, but my shade is white.
Oh my god, white! Run away!
Yeah, Burning Wheel's awesome. We'll talk about that in another show. But anyway, so we had a bunch of friends over like 3 separate times where we could have watched the movie as a big group. But every time, there was at least one person who hadn't seen the end of the show yet.
And we're not even sure if the movie spoils anything. But
I'm reasonably sure.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure, though. So it's like, because we're not sure, we don't do it. You don't take risks.
Yeah, because I mean...
If someone doesn't care, like, go for it, you know? Because yeah. A lot of things I don't care about. Sometimes I want to be spoiled. If anyone is going to tell me the end of Fancy Lala and what the hell happens with those dinosaurs, I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah, or you asked me to spoil Scrap Princess for you a while ago because you didn't want to watch it.
Whatever. I don't even remember what you said.
Of course, be careful, because there's always the caveat of the person who, you know, they'll say, like, they'll ask a question like they want to know the answer, but they don't really want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Generally don't answer that question, or always at least preface it with a, are you sure you want to know?
Yeah, and that way, if they didn't really want to know, it's their own damn fault.
Because, like, Emily, she's watching Last Exile right now, which we just watch all of, and soon we're going to do our final thoughts episode on. Yeah, I promised all of you out there who've been asking, starting next week, we're probably going to start actually reviewing anime again, because we've got a whole backlog of shows now.
Yeah, and even more episodes are sitting on the computer.
Yeah, plus we're watching the original Slayers again.
Great.
Yeah, I love it. But sometimes she'll ask, like, does he die? What happens to him? Now, it's obvious that she doesn't actually want the answer to that question. A fanboy will immediately answer. A non-fanboy will ask, are you sure?
The other thing is, sometimes, and this is, it doesn't take a lot of judgment skill, but it takes some. There are sometimes it's okay to just tell all. There's nothing wrong with saying, Luke, Darth Vader is his father, because everyone freaking knows. And if they don't know, hit him.
All right, I got to tell the story about Greg and the fake spoiler he did.
All right.
Because this is awesome. Our friend Greg, he told us this story. We were with him, but apparently this happened. And even if it didn't happen, it's a damn good story. So remember episode 2 of Star Wars when it came out?
You mean episode 2, not Empire Strikes Back, but
no,
Clone
but,
Wars.
Yeah, the Clone Wars. Yeah, the Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
So apparently he went to see it. And on his way out, because they saw like the midnight first showing, there's a line of people
this one.
Waiting for the second showing of it. So he starts talking and in a very loud voice says, man, that was awesome, but I can't believe they killed Yoda. And this guy in the line goes, thanks a lot, asshole. You just ruined the movie. And then he realizes what he just said. And that guy got pooned in a way that no man has ever been pooned before.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you don't realize why that's funny, I don't know what to say to you.
We have a Star Wars episode somewhere in the archives. You should go listen to it.
Yeah, I had a thing of the day that was Star Wars related, but I'll use it tomorrow if I don't find anything better tomorrow.
Well, that's a quick one. We'll just let that loose whenever.
Yeah.
It's actually geographically related to us.
You know, I'll let it loose right now, because we're devolving into the end of this episode.
Okay.
So, a guy was caught selling crack near us in Poughkeepsie.
There's a lot of crack guys up there, whatever.
Yeah. Now, any guess what his name was?
Lando Calrissian Butler.
His first name is Lando Calrissian.
We're not sure if that was a misspelling by the newspaper and it's actually Lando Calrissian, or maybe his parents didn't know how to spell Calrissian and they made it Carlissan or whatever they wrote there.
Or maybe he gave a fake name and they don't have an ID for him.
Yeah. What's your name? Lando Calrissian Butler. Yeah. That's my name. Who was the actor? Billy D. Williams?
Joey Jojo Shabadoo.
Yeah, Billy D. Williams was Lando Calrissian. That'd be hilarious if, like, you went and they tried to arrest you for crack, and you'd be like, they'd be like, what's your name? Lando Calrissian. Next day, Billy D. Williams charged with crack deal.
All right, so we're done with that. Our first theme week, basically the reason we use this theme is simply that, now, you know, to go into some meta bits, we're tired this week, and that seemed like an easy theme to do.
Yeah, next week, let's do Favorites Week.
All right, so next week is going to be Favorites Week, meaning we're going to talk about our favorite things.
Our favorite technology, our favorite video games, our favorite anime, manga, and comics, and our favorite other shit.
Yep.
Prime music and movies.
And we've got a lot of different weeks coming up. We're going to do an old school week at some point.
We'll do a most hated week.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome week.
The most hated video games. Most hated anime, yeah.
Yeah, Ultimate Quest of the Avatar.
Oh, God.
Great Digital Target.
Oh, God.
Lens Man.
Don't give him the previews.
Okay, all right.
And tomorrow, we're going to have a surprise How to Not Suck.
Mainly because we're not sure what we're going to do yet, and we don't want to lock ourselves in.
Yeah.
Because we could do anything.
But it will surprise you, I guarantee.
And my last meta bit here, on the forums, you might have seen that I posted that we're like the number one search on Yahoo Podcast for a whole bunch of things. Like anime, manga, comics, geekery, technology, science, we're like number 6 or 7 now. Almost anything related to us you search for, we're the number one. Like,
I really don't know how that happened, but...
Now, I'm starting to figure out how it happened, but then, right, like a few hours later, someone posted in the forums that you guys don't show up for shit in there. And I looked, and sure enough, we didn't. So I did some investigating, and it seemed, basically, I've discovered that right when it screwed up is when Scott added all of the feed burner feeds that I had created for all the days of the week of Geek Nights. They're added into iTunes, and Yahoo got really confused for a while about Geek Nights.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Not too many people use Yahoo Podcasts.
But I'll note, we have over 20 subscribers through Yahoo Podcasts alone.
Yep. But who knows how many of those subscribers actually, like I'm subscribed by Yahoo Podcasts. You know, it doesn't really, you know, it's not someone actually utilizing.
Well, consider that the popular podcasts on Yahoo have maybe 40 subscribers there.
So I'm telling you, is that not too many people are actually using Yahoo Podcasts seriously.
Oh, I really doubt it.
Yeah, that's a thing, but.
Though enough people are tagging Geek Nights with the appropriate tags to make it come up very highly in the searches.
That's good.
And we've got 3 reviews written there. Ooh.
Oh, really? I only read like 1.
Yeah.
All right. So,
But yeah. Anyway, to answer the question someone posted in the forums, yeah, the 20 means we have 20 Yahoo subscribers. It does not mean we have 20 subscribers. Geek Nights has far more than 20 subscribers.
Yeah, or else I wouldn't be here, maybe.
Yeah. We're switching to Libsyn real soon for the MP3 hosting.
Good, because we need to.
Yeah, because we're running out of space and bandwidth real quick.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So if Geek Nights goes down or something, don't start calling us on the phone and stuff.
Because that means we'll be back shortly. We're working on all those issues.
Yeah, hopefully we can just stay up, you know, by the skin of our teeth until...
Yeah, because Libsyn's has had its own issues. Otherwise, I was actually going to migrate 2 weeks ago, but they had some problems.
Are they over their problems?
I'm not sure. I'll have to check that this weekend. All right. This weekend, I'm going to do a whole bunch of podcast stuff.
Awesome.
All right, and we're out. Tomorrow, expect How to Not Suck at Something.
Everything.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.